yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
The infamous Chicken Hawk, Mac 10.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yeller from the world's most dangerous group.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Republican.
Yo, 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 what's up? This your boy, C-Mur, and I'm chilling with my boy, Scott Mader.
What's up? This is DLC.
This Young Cashman from the Outlaws.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy, Al Capone.
This is your boy, Psycho Nip.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 365.
Young Busy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross.
It's MC Mac for Life, Don the Ball, Supreme Bean, KKZ.
Yo, what up? This is DJ Quick.
Yo, what's poppin'? It's the Kid K, AK,
what's up, y'all? This the boy, Master P.
Yeah, check this out. This is Fresh Blood at the China Man with the 2-Live Group.
Yo, what up, y'all? Yo, Scott Bader, what up, baby? It's your boy, Sheik. Who's hollering at you, man?
This is Jesse Ventura, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show.
Trying to hit you with a heater in the middle with a chest plate cavity. Your hoes trying to lose your soul. King of this motherfucking underground rap shit coming out of Fort Worth, Texas. And every day I gotta eat a big bowl of whack, mumbling rappers up for breakfast. Rainy top gone so pure, and it really be dumper than a whole fucking lot of grams. A lot of these hoes be faked in the bitch, and I see right through them like a motherfucking hologram. And if you want it, I can make a motherfucking back of your throat meet a pistol grip. And I can really get a hater hog tied up, wrap them up like a motherfucking Christmas tree.
Himself, the one and only DJ Zerk. How you doing, Zerk?
Man, I'm good, man. How you doing? How you doing, bro? How you doing, Fred?
I'm doing real good, man. I'm very fortunate to be here, man, and be able to chop it up with you, man. You've been pretty good.
I know. Yes, man. I'm good, man. I'm great. I'm here, and I'm breathing to chop it up with you, bro. We blessed.
Hell yeah.
Hey, most man, definitely. We blessed, man. We blessed. Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, you know what I'm saying? I just saw that there's actually going to be a reality show called The Legends of Hip Hop Memphis. And
yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Tell us about that, man. That's huge for the city of Memphis.
I'm going to tell you, well, the part of this first episode is about really helping young artists get to where they need to be. It's like we're going to be kind of mentoring young artists. We got Dollface, we got Yellow Diamond, we have Cookie, we have Big Hunter, and a few, along with Gangsta Pat and SMK. Man, I got a whole list. I'm trying to think of everybody. SMK, Big Curse, we got Montana on there. Man, we got a lot of legends that's really going to be on this show. You know, it's just showing, mentoring young artists.
Yeah, giving them your, you know, the game that you guys have had these years, you know what I'm saying? I think that's a very
right.
noble thing to do, you know,
yes,
secure
sir.
The future
yes,
of the
sir.
City.
Of the city, right. There you go, you know what I'm saying? And we will be taking it on a tour and everything, man. We got some big plans for this, and we got some really people, heavy people, really investing into this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, man.
Yeah.
It sounds like a project, you know what I'm saying, Unity for the City. And, you know,
that's what
because
it's about.
Let's face it, you guys have influenced so many other people, why not showcase, you know what I'm saying, all your talents, man, and come together as one, man? It's a beautiful thing.
And you know something, and it's so crazy, man, that a lot of these kids' parents are fans of ours.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man, and it's crazy. And every parent that I have talked to, man, I can't believe how they look up to us. You know what I'm saying? And then they like, I raised my kids off y'all music. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the kids are hip because either their fathers or mothers been into this rap, or, you know what I'm saying, or we influenced them. So it's like it don't pass down to the kids, man, and that's like a really amazing to me, man. You know, it's like I be honored and stuff to hear people say that. You know, like, man, I put my kid on your stuff. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yes sir. Yeah.
They were
yeah.
raised right, man. They were raised right.
Yeah.
So it's only natural
right.
that
right.
this happens. You know.
I know, man. I know, Prince. I know, man. Yes, sir.
And when you got Gangsta Pat involved, you can't lose with that, man, because he's one of the, I mean, shit, man. He's
Ooh.
The guy that got the Atlantic Records
Ooh,
deal.
Man.
You know.
I know, but now Pat is really the creator of this. You know, me and people don't understand. Me and Pat got a relationship really before the music. You know what I'm saying? And he'll tell you, I was even out there really before Pat, but Pat made it before me. You know what I'm saying? But Pat was the influence on me to say, damn, if Pat can do it and he's from the hood, I can do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cause but see, when I was young, I was just really doing it for fun. You know what I'm saying? It made making records and recreations. I mean, it was recreation to me to make just tapes and see people in Orange Mound, you know, listen to my music. You know what I'm saying? It was fun, you know?
Yeah. It gave you
yeah.
something
uh-huh.
to do to stay out of trouble.
Man, what you said, because without it, I'm serious, I would have been in prison. I am, and I look at my history, and I was telling somebody a lot of stuff that we did when we was young. We was headed there, but if it wasn't for this music, man, I promise, man, it saved my life.
Yeah, the music was a roadblock in your career as a career criminal. You know what I'm saying? That,
right.
That's what it was for
right.
me, too, because I was doing crazy shit. And everything you could think of, man, drugs, you know what I'm saying, stealing, robbing, whatever.
I know.
But the music, you know what I'm saying, once I got involved with the murder dog, it was like, man, that life
right.
is done. Now I got something to
live right.
for. You know?
Man, let me tell you, I swear to God, this is a true story. Buckshot, one time, it was me, Buckshot, and Kilo G. This man said, let's go rob the McDonald's. I swear to God, I put on my mama, rest in peace. Rest in peace, Dr. One. This man said, let's go rob this McDonald's. I swear, but I was into the music then. You know what I told him? I said, man, drop me off at the studio, and you go do what you want to do. I swear to God. I swear to God. And that's a real true story. I promise
yeah.
you. He wanted to rob the McDonald's through the drive-thru.
Man. That could have been
it. That could have been it. I swear to God, man, that's a true story.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But it's making me make decisions, really, what was important, because, you know, I loved it, the music. You know, I see, think about it, I pulled Buckshot, Kilo, and Kilo pulled Tony down in, and then Marcus Bradford, rest in peace. We was the fourth runners of Too Thick, you know what I'm saying? But we all was like a neighborhood clique. So, and we started growing up as kids, you know what I'm saying, until adults and stuff, we was hanging together, and we was just doing crazy-ass shit together, man.
Yeah. That's you know, that's wild. And same with Pat, too, because, you know, Pat, you know, his original CEO, I forget, Fat Tony, I believe his name was.
Fat Tony.
He got shot in the
head.
Yeah,
he got
Pat
killed.
There with him. He got shot,
with
too.
Pat
and,
with
yeah. Just one move
yeah.
in either direction for a lot of you guys could have been disastrous. You know what I mean? Could have been could have been it. You know.
I don't know if Pat gonna say get mad at me anything, but Pat, that's how me and Pat met, cause we was out here doing petty crimes. that's how me and Pat met. You know what I'm saying? And from then we just somehow we just stayed in contact. You know what I'm saying? Somehow, some way, we just ended up in the same place at the same time. Cause y'all think about it, we had rotary phones back then. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have cell phones, so it was like we always ran into each other, and we like kept that bond. Cause see, Gangsta Pat used to want to get beats from me. No, I'm serious. Gangsta Pat used to want to get beats from me, so it was like he was looking up to me. Cause see, Marcus B, this guy named Lopez, R.I.P. He was like the OG in Orange Mound. And that's when we started really changing the gangster, because this guy named Marcus B, he was rapping gangster back then, really like right at the time of NWA and stuff. He was rapping what we was doing on the street. It's just that I took initiative to be the producer and the DJ. And by him being a good rapper, I just put my stuff to the side to produce him. So that was how I started producing and DJing, it because of him. You know what I'm saying? We needed somebody that was going to cover that. But he was like, truthfully, if you ever talk to A-Ball, ask him who in the neighborhood in Orange Mound was the man. He going to say this dude named Lopez, because everybody used to look up to him because he was rapping gangster, man, before a lot of people. NWA just let us know that we was on the right path.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We was on the right path. So, you know, it was already in us, you know, because what we was doing on the street.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, you pioneered a lot of stuff before a lot of people did, man. And it's good to see you guys getting the recognition. But what about like a DJ Zerk documentary or a book or a movie? Is that ever something that you want to do in the future?
Well, me and Pat, it's coming. It's coming. We just doing this reality show because, you know, we know that everybody took a lot of pieces from Memphis or whatever. But, you know, It's like, how can you do these reality shows and not even include Memphis? So everybody right now is shooting movies and whatever. So we were like, let's do a reality show. You know what I'm saying? So Pat came up with the concept and everything. You know what I'm saying? He's doing most of the writing. Pat got 30 jobs. He cameraman. He writing the scripts. Pat is very talented. I'm telling y'all. I don't know where he get it from or whatever, but Pat is very talented. Very.
Yeah.
He editing the video. Yeah. He editing the whole thing, man. I'm like, dude, I got to get some of these jobs off you.
Yeah. You got to get some work in there, you know.
Right.
But that's, you know, right. That dude is super, super talented, man, and so are you. When did you develop your love for music, though? You said you was in the streets. You know, when did the music speak to you and say, you know what, man, it's time to do this and leave the streets alone?
Well, the thing about it, tell you the truth, I used to go to Nashville, and Nashville used to get records. See, this is when me and Marcus B. Lopez got together. We was like started like in the third grade. Kilo G was already there, but Kilo G really wasn't rapping. But I used to go get these records from Nashville. For some reason, Nashville used to get records that Memphis wasn't getting until like 6 months or a year. Nashville would get it. And me and Marcus, you know, we would be rapping songs and Memphis people wouldn't even know. So it kind of started developing that we could do it. You know what I'm saying? That we could do it. So we just, you know, we just started feeling like that we could do it.
Yeah, yeah. Who was some of your earlier influences, man, at this time? Was you listening to like cats in different areas, like in Houston or Chicago or anywhere else?
I would really listen to straight New York at the time. And that's why I explained to people that a lot of our samples you even hear are from New York. People, I think somebody tried to make a joke out of it because I've seen it, and I know that they meant me. But they didn't understand. A lot of the records that we took to make our style was really almost all the records from New York. Trigger Man, yeah, they from New York. Ultramagnetic MCs, all that stuff, they from New York. We just took them records and slowed them down and put our twist in it. See, a person that don't have knowledge of music, they don't know. You know what I'm saying? They don't know where all them records came from. A lot of them records came from up north. We just slowed them down, you know what I'm saying, and put our twist to it. That's so it wouldn't sound so much like them. You know, we'll take a sample of, like, just say a 2 seconds sample. That's how the chopping came in, because we were sort of using the SB-12 or whatever sample that it was. You know, sampling time back then was very limited, so you had to chop it. So yeah, you can play it. Right. So you can play it like your own, and you wouldn't really know where it came from. Yeah. So that's how our limited of equipment is really what made us, was the limitation of equipment. So when you creative, you can take that little smallest thing and make it big. You know, that was just in us to do it.
What gave you, the idea for Lock 'Em in the Trunk? Obviously it's self-explanatory, Memphis, you know what I'm saying? But what made you say, you know what, man, let's do this? And when you did you think that it was going to be that big of a hit, man, and still love to this day, you know, 30-some-odd years later?
Man, that wasn't the first song I even chose. I chose two other songs. I maybe asked out and Anna for You Hoes. I chose them two. The people had chose Lock 'Em in the Trunk. You see what I'm saying? The people had chose. I didn't even think that would cause, like I said, when I explained Toothpick was full of anger. You know what I'm saying? That album was, EP was like just full of anger. It because people... I you know, it's like this with me. I wouldn't take nobody local stuff. I would take somebody from New York or, like you say, California or Miami. I would take their stuff and chop it up in my stuff. You know what I'm saying? But somebody locally, I wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? And I found myself in the middle of that somebody locally would put my music on their mixtapes, chopping my stuff up. But see, when you come, I come from a hip-hop era. My style is my style. Your style creates your lane. You know what I'm saying? You didn't take nobody's style that was next to you. You know, you build your own stuff. Yeah, I might influence you, but I will never take nothing that you do and put in my record. But I can take somebody from New York or whatever and, you know, put in my record. But somebody locally, I wouldn't. And what happened, somebody locally was putting my stuff and making a name off my music, and I wasn't getting paid off of it. You know what I'm saying? So I look at you taking away from me, you know. And that's what people, I know people are fans of people, and I had to argue with people. I'll be like, well, will you let a nigga steal your mama TV? You know what I'm saying? You like stealing from me. You know what I'm saying? And then the thing about it, I'm your local. We and you in from the same city. You know what I'm saying? But I learned, even talking from that guy, I didn't know how much I was really influencing other people. I didn't really know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something that, you know, over time you would start to see it here and there and hear it in different songs.
Right.
And, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, you definitely put it down, man, before anybody when it comes to that. When you came out, you know, I mean, Spanish Fly was around. I know Pat. Was Psycho around? Because Psycho mentioned you. Was he doing his thing at the time, or did he come a little bit after you? Or?
Well, Psycho, we was actually, that's what I'm saying, I really had the name out there. But Psycho ended up in the right place at the right time. Yeah, I came through and helped Pat, you know what I'm saying, a little bit after. But I was trying to get in with Anthony Carter. I was there before it was OTS. I was there when it was Anthony Carter, Good to Go, GTG. When it was GTG, I was trying to get in. But they were letting me in. They were just taking their time letting me in. You know what I'm saying? But now Psycho just ended up in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
You know? Because Psycho.
Up.
Yeah, right. But, you know, Pat's style, and Pat would tell you, man, you know, we talk about it all the time. His style was so different from our style. You know what I'm saying? His style was totally different. The Memphis sound didn't come in to me and Squeaky really created, even though it's another Psycho, Tyrone Bell. I worked up under Tyrone Bell at OTS. You know what I'm saying? I was the secret weapon. People didn't know that. I was like the secret weapon, but I stayed humble and I waited till my time because I knew what they was doing. It was pretty good. And, you know, my ideas will be on the records, but somebody else probably would play them to get the credit for it at the time. You know what I'm saying? That's what we did as friends. Because, see, I was going to get credit on the record anyway because I was the DJ there. So, you know what I'm saying? We all worked together, but I knew that it was more. You know what I'm saying? You got to think about it. One to the motherfucking two to the motherfucking three, the sound of a boom. See, that was almost there where me and Squeaky was at. You know what I'm saying? It was almost there. But that's why when me and Squeaky, we just took it to a whole nother level because we knew what they was missing. You know what I'm saying? We already, when me and Squeaky got together, we already knew what they was missing. You know what I'm saying? The thing about it, when you make dog music, and me and Squeaky were like this, dog music, you can, people, if I played a dog music song and it didn't have no club feel, people would just stand there. See, Spanish Fly taught me and Squeaky how to DJ the clubs. So the beats had to be club. You see what I'm saying? So we can take a dog rhythm and put a club beat on it. And there you go.
Yeah.
You know, that was the formula, is making that a club song. But it was dog. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like I say, if you came out with just a straight-up dog song, no, people would just stand there. So we put the club feel to our beats. So, because we were DJs, so it would make people dance our song.
Yeah. And it set up a whole, you know what I'm saying, way of doing things for so many others to come in the future.
I know, right? And they still doing it. The same stuff, that's why, that's probably why we're getting our props really now more than ever, because the same music that we created then is still today. It's the same music today. It really ain't no different. Same bass lines. It's got to be club. And I tell every artist this, when you build a record, where is you going to market your record to? You got to think about it. Where is you going to market your record to? You got to market to the clubs. And most of these songs that they doing out here is bass heavy, bass driven, dark, you know what I'm saying, and clubby. Man, that's the same stuff. The same formula from 91 is the same formula to 2024. It ain't even changed, man.
Yeah, that's what they on right now, man. I mean, they're loving it, you know.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
speaks volumes because a lot of artists don't have that type of influence. A lot of producers, you know, they don't have something that's going to last 30 years and still influence people, you know. So that's why it's good that you guys are doing this reality show and you know, you got things in the works, you know, to kind of educate people where this shit
and
came from.
The thing about it, that yesterday what we were doing was creative, it because, see, we was limited. Today you got Fruit Loops, you know what I'm saying? So you can take something now really from anybody, instead of being creative, You just remaking now. Yeah. Everything has the same feel now. Ain't nobody really want to step out the box. I understand that the industry, and people know I always spoke bad about the industry. People never believe me that the industry is a monster. People never believe me. And I told people even when they banned me, you know, I was the first rapper to ever get banned in Memphis, period. They stopped playing me all over. Lock 'em in the trunk was going to be the biggest fucking thing at that time. Was going to be the biggest fucking thing, and them folks, they banned me. I wouldn't sign contracts. There's certain contracts that I wouldn't sign. And it was so crazy that one label said, don't worry about it. You ain't got to sign with us. We're going to find somebody to sound just like you. Me and Squeaker stood there, and we were like, at that time, because we creating this style, you know, we were like, nobody can take our style. Man, me and Squeaker sit down today, and we'll laugh about it because they did it. They did it, man. It's like people haven't witnessed the stuff that I've witnessed or Squeaky even witnessed. We here tell you, we sit there and many, man, we was offered millions at that time. And like a lot of people don't know artists that's around us because it was me, Kilo, and Squeaky going to these meetings. We didn't tell the artists what we was getting offered. They didn't even know what the hell was going on. But we were getting offered millions of dollars back then. Squeaky didn't want nail one of them or nothing. I wanted to sign because, I wanted to go on that other level, but Squeaky wouldn't sign. And people wanted me and Squeaky together. You see what I'm saying? So it was like a limitation there. But it's like the industry, man, the industry is a monster. Man, people do not understand it, man. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is, man. It's a lot of politics involved. That's for sure.
Man, a lot of politics there, and let you say no to them, see what happened to you.
Yeah,
I got banned and everything. Me and Tonski even talked. Tonski started getting a little money from somewhere. They started giving Squeaky a little money from somewhere. And some niggas starved because they were separating us. See, together we was mighty, but separate we was nothing. You know, Tonski will tell you, put him on here and ask, he'll tell you. Yeah, but see, at the time we were so young, we couldn't see it. Our heads were big. We out here large. You know what I'm saying? We thinking that being independent was going to last forever. You know what I'm saying? That's what was in our head. You know what I'm saying? But, man, they was knocking us off, and we couldn't even see it. I'm serious, man. We couldn't even see it. But now, as we talk about it, man, we like, man. These folks, boy, it was tough, man. Mentally, it was tough.
I was going to say, what was it like to get banned, you know what I'm saying? Because at that time, the only people that was really ever banned was the Two Live Crew. You know, had problems,
right.
Ice T. What was it like for you to be in that type of company?
Man, look, man, them folks tried to charge me for murders because people was getting locked in the trunk at that time. You look at the 93 murder rate. I tell people, man, y'all think Memphis was terrible now? Man, Memphis was terrible back then. In 93, Memphis had the highest murder rate. And a lot of the murders was coming off me and Squeaky influence. Serious. Man, they had Squeaky. They tried to charge me for some of the murders. I had to go on TV. I swear to God, I had to go on K97. They came to Orange Mound Community Center. I had to sit there and talk to Stan Bell and tell people that it was just a song. You know what I'm saying? I was like, something I seen on TV. I couldn't even tell them the truth. They were like, something I seen on TV, and we just wrote about it. You know what I'm saying? And then next thing you know, they banned the song.
That's insane.
Oh, man. It was crazy, man. It was crazy, man. I was actually going crazy back then because it was like, I couldn't go to no – ask Squeaky. Man, we were trying to take the radio station, new music. Man, they were locking the doors on us, bro.
They didn't want nothing to do with you.
I swear to God, man, they didn't want nothing to do with us. We couldn't go to no more radio stations or nothing, man. It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? We didn't understand, but what was happening, they were slicking somebody else in there. I'm telling you what they were doing. They were slicking somebody else in there that was smart to accept the money. No, they was. That's what they was doing with the same type of music, and they was slick with the same type of crew. You know what I'm saying? You had a DJ for DJ. You know what I'm saying? And they was slicking them on in there, and they were getting paid off. I'm like, wow, man. Wow, it's crazy, bro.
Yeah, it is, man, for you to go through something like that. And, you know, but here you are all these years later. You came out on top anyway, regardless, man. Looking back at some of the music you did, like the Mega Bass tapes, were you influenced by, like, cats like Mr. Mix and different DJs that was really hitting with the 808s back then?
DJ Magic Mike out of Miami, was heavy influenced. DJ Magic Mike, I believe. We was heavy influenced by him with the bass. You know what I'm saying? We just really actually carried it on. But we wanted more play with it. Boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? A little bit more than what he was doing. You know what I'm saying? So we did get influenced heavily by, you know, DJ. But we was told, you know, heavy influenced by him. Yeah, we were.
He was fucking speakers up.
We was enthused by bass, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We was just enthused by bass. You know, but I tell people, we come up in an era that at the time, see, I used to get people to say, I swear to God, man, the only reason why they buying your tape is because the bass. You know what I'm saying? We come in a sort of end of a hip-hop era, but you got different, Texas has a type of music. You had, everybody had a different type of music at that time. Then nobody sound the same. You know what I'm saying? So when we was coming in and we were bass heavy, all the professional top people, they used to be like, they was talking bad, but the labels was loving it. The labels knew that was a new wave that was coming, because we was harder than the NWA. We was the hardest shit out there at that time. The hardest shit. You got to think about it. NWA was breaking up. They were leaving on out. Next thing you know, we got somebody coming with a song, lock them in a motherfucking trunk. Man. Man.
That takes it one step further.
Right. And they're talking about dirty hoes. We talking about smoking weed and shit on our songs. You know what I'm saying? Man, look. Now look at the era now. It's the same shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
same, sure is,
they just popping more pills, and that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. It's crazy.
More like synthetic drug orientated now. Back then it was, you know, plant-based substances.
I know, man. But I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to go ahead, Prince. Go ahead, Prince.
No, I was just going to say, now it's crazy the stuff they're doing. But we're losing a lot of people. You know, rest in peace, Gangsta Boo. You know what I'm saying? Lord Infamous.
Right?
So many are gone to these substances.
Koosa. Man, you know, I ain't going to lie, man. I never thought that I would become friends of anybody up 3-6. But when I talk to them, and I swear to God, man, you know, I really wanted to beat them folks up. I wanted to shoot them in the ass and shit. No lie. You know what I'm saying? I really wanted to do. I was that hurt because I knew what was going on. I started seeing the same people that I was messing with was messing with DJ Paul. You know, because, see, I was trying to even sue. I didn't mean to say no name, but I was trying to sue back then. But somebody that I was signed with, they was with Paul too. You see what I'm saying? I heard Paul, once I left the studio, man, they said they were going in the studio right behind us. You see what I'm saying? And I used to ask the label. I swear to God to you. I used to be like, They got my music in their stuff. You know what I'm saying? Well, they only took a little piece of it. You can't do nothing about it because you can use this much. I didn't know nothing about the business. You know, we didn't know nothing about the business. We were just doing what we love to do. And they were putting out tapes, making some money. You know what I'm saying? And I used to be, and once I got older, I started figuring it out. I started digging into it. Man, the same person was working with them, and they were tricking me.
Man.
It's a hell of a story to tell because people really don't know. I'm not knocking nobody from having any fans or putting the music out or pretending to be. You know what I'm saying? Because that's up to the people. You know what I'm saying? Decide if he real or he fake or do I like it or not. That's what I'm saying. I love their music because their music is a part of me. You know what I'm saying? Seriously, I loved it. It was just, damn, how are you getting away with it? You know what I'm saying? So that's the crazy part about it, man.
What about, you know, all these years later, you know what I'm saying, have you and Paul and Jay ever sat down and chopped it up about everything or try to clear
the
air?
We haven't. Me and Paul have, but, you know, it's like this. You know, I don't knock nobody from getting no money. I swear to God, y'all, they don't even know the things that I let them even go. People don't even know the stuff I let them use. You know what I'm saying? Because that guy came to me and we had to sit down and talk. Because I was a heavy influence on his life. What am I supposed to say if a kid come to you and say, hey, man, you really influenced me. I love your music. You know what I'm saying, man? You know, what am I supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? Okay, y'all, I'll work something out with you. You know what I'm saying? But it's like when people, they don't want me to tell the truth. And people get mad, even they do. And it done destroyed what we, you know, when we say we squash the beef. But it's like, I guess they take it that I'm talking down on them. You see, I'm not talking down on y'all. I'm just telling the truth. You get mad at me because I'm telling the truth, because you don't want these, your big fans, your millions of people to know. You know what I'm just telling the truth, what happened in my life with y'all. You know what I'm saying? Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling the truth. If you want me to shut up, go ahead and pay me the money then.
And I probably still wouldn't
because my truth is my truth. You can lie to the people out there all you want to. They can be fooled by you, but me and you man, we know the goddamn truth. You know what I'm saying? They just don't like when people explain. Because it might make them seem, you know, like they ain't who they are on the record. And I know who they are. They know who they are. You know what I'm saying? But the people don't know who they are. You know what I'm saying? So they get mad at me for telling the truth. I ain't never telling the truth, bro.
No, you got to. You got to, especially, you know what I'm saying, when it's your hard work that's at play here, you know.
True. That's my story. That's my life. That's what I've been through. You know what I'm saying, dude? You can't get mad at me. So now you won't say my name or put my name in the book because when people ask me, what you want me to tell them? You know what I'm saying? So now you're mad at me. That's what my life, what I've been through with y'all. If y'all mad about that, man, well, hell be it. You know what I'm saying? Well, hell be it, man. It's crazy, ain't it, man?
No, I feel you, man. I'm on the same shit. I made a post today. I had to call out DJ Vlad and Hip Hop DX.
Oh, for real?
And all I said was the truth. Like you say, man, what I said was, I said this. I said, long before DX and Vlad, there was Murder Dog Magazine and the Murder Master Media Show.
Yeah, it was y'all.
Rep the underground.
Yeah.
You know, and that's real.
That.
Not lying.
It is real. You're not lying. That's the truth. That's the truth. But the they want to hide. People want to hide the truth, man. And it's so crazy. But I was finna say that. I was finna say you before all them. You
and
right.
We've been doing this for a minute. I mean, the podcast
you
originally started in 2004. You know, and that was before YouTube.
Okay.
Before
all that. Any of that shit. You sure was, man. And that's the truth, man. Vlad won't put me on there. I don't know why. I guess he's friends with whoever or whatever. But Vlad don't want the real truth. Vlad want to cover it up or make it, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know. But Vlad, man, I done emailed him, man, and man won't even answer me back.
Yeah, Vlad's very limited when it comes to his knowledge on who started what,
so?
Who did this. You know, he wants to, you know, I've talked to him before, too, and he's like, well, I can't run
for
that
real?
Story because I can't run that story because I interview so-and-so and he'll get mad.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right, and he'll be mad. No, I'm serious. I'm not talking down about Project Pat. I promise God I'm not. You know what I'm saying? I like Project Pat, and I like his music. Project Pat went on there and said, well, if somebody took some of mine, yeah, I would just be happy for them to even take it. You know, they can have it. It's because of what he know with when he started his career and what he did. But I wanted to call Project Pat and say, well, you know that song you got with Drake? Give that to me then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted to tell him, man, don't tell people a fucking lie. Don't tell people no lie that you will just give your music away. You will lie. That means you will do free shows then, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stop lying. Stop lying to the people. You do this for the money. You do this to pay your bills. Go to that interview. He'll tell you, I wouldn't say nothing. I'll be glad that somebody used it. Nigga, you will lie.
Yeah.
You a lie. Go back to the interview. You're going to say, Zert, man, you write like a motherfucker.
Yeah, you got to be able to tell the truth with,
right.
You know, especially if it's set in stone because, you know, what they don't understand, like I said in the thing, I said we got listeners and we got readers from the Murder Dog days. They haven't forgotten us. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to talk to anybody, you could talk to them. You could talk to the DJ Zerk fans who've been bumping your music for 30 years. And they'll tell you.
Man,
you know?
Man to me, you real respect, and that's why I think I hit you up and I called you a legend or something. It's because, man, you've been doing this so long, man. You know what I'm saying? That you done covered a lot. You was there before all these. You damn near created the platform. You know what I'm saying? It's just now it's more the internet and all this stuff now. Y'all, you did, man. And I give a real man they respect. You know what I'm saying? And, man, you've been doing it. And you've been covering the whole South. You know, you believed in the whole South for so long, even though you were doing Midwest. I'm telling you, I know, man. I've been checking you out for a long time, bro.
Man, likewise.
Yeah,
likewise,
man.
Man.
Yeah, man. You know, yeah, man.
When I got at the Murder Dog, Al Capone and King JC were already there. You know what I'm saying? So I had good teachers to put me up on that Memphis game back then. You know, and let me know. Because I didn't get into you guys until a few years later after you started coming out.
Later?
In Chicago, we had our own shit. You know, and I was listening to all the stuff in Chicago. But when I started hearing the Memphis stuff, I was like, man, this is so unlike anything. These guys got their own formula, you know.
Right.
And like you said, it was different back then. You could tell who was from where.
Back then.
Now it's like a pot of gumbo. You don't know who the fuck is from where.
Man,
you know?
From where, man? I know, man. It's, the whole game is this, you know, it's run, it's industry driven. It's ran by really big wigs who, they don't want music to grow. You know what I'm saying? Music is supposed to grow. Our artists is supposed to grow. And, man, they was mad at me. I did a whole album live with live guitar. Man, the label said, man, kiss our ass with that shit. You know what I'm saying? they don't want the music to grow. You know what I'm saying?
No.
The style of music with Lock 'Em in the Trunk, Dirty Hoes, and all that was heavy influence. You know what I'm saying? Music, N.W.A. and what they talking about was heavy influence. Even a little bit, we'll kick knowledge a little bit, but these kids today ain't kicking no knowledge. They just popping, smoking, choking, and dying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
In that order,
it's
too. I mean.
In that order.
It's nuts.
For real, man. For real,
it's nuts.
Man. You know? Yeah, man. But you got to let music grow. Because as a producer, I'm a producer. I can't even grow. I can't.
Yeah.
I got to do the same piano. I got to do the same piano lines. Over and over and over and over, man. I be like, I'm sick of that shit.
Yeah, you know. You probably dream and hear that shit in your sleep, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Prince,
make
man.
Beats, wake up, got a beat already made. You just got to lay it down.
Yeah, you know? Lay it down, man. It's crazy, man. Yeah, but I'm blessed, Prince. You blessed me. We here, man.
I'm blessed. Yeah, I'm blessed to still be here, man. Good to be able to chop it up with good brothers like yourself.
Yes,
I'm gonna bring on the
yes,
homie Sin from France. I know he's got some questions for
okay.
you.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Me and you could talk for about 8 hours, I think. Sin, you there, brother?
Yeah, we can. What's up, Sin?
Yes, yes, sir. Hi,
yes,
legendary DJ Zerk. Hi,
man.
Yes,
I'm blessed, brother.
Real honor
I'm
to have you. To have you on the show, it's a great honor. Yeah, and you're right.
Okay.
Murder Door was the first magazine to put Memphis Pioneers and DJ Zerk way before The Source, way before XXL or Mainstream Magazine. It was Murder Door the first. Who put Memphis on the map.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you tell us about, you talk about a mega bass in 83, the song Ghetto Bass Mix. Can you tell us about this one? It was a synth sample of course, you did way before Project Motherfucker Bass.
Right.
Yeah? Can you tell us about this one?
Yeah. You know why we did the bass tape? Let me tell you the reason why me and Squeaker did the bass tape, so y'all can rap on top of it. That's the reason why we did do the bass tape. It's for y'all to rap on top. We was teaching y'all, and y'all didn't know that we was actually teaching y'all how to rap Memphis style. So that's why we didn't put no raps on it. You see what I'm saying? We just put our little whatever on it, and for you to just rap on top of it and learn the Memphis style. That's the reason why we did it.
Yeah. As a job song, also was what you want to do. That's crazy.
Man, look,
crazy music and too.
Hey, you just said something, man. I can't even remember half of that shit, man. I can't even remember half. Look, man, people give me stuff, man. I'd be like, I don't even remember that. And they'd be like, it's yours. I'd be like, I heard it from somewhere. Yeah, because I did so much music, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that jump like you want some, man. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Sin.
Yeah. Yeah. OTS days was an amazing era, and you came up with a Radical T, and back then they were DOA, a.k.a. Edward MJG, 211, Legion of Doom, Man of the Hour. Can you tell us about the era of OTS at this same time?
Man, ooh, the Legion of Doom, man. Golly, what you know about that,
back.
Bro? That's a pack, man. Hey, man,
yeah.
That shit was... I don't think people know how hard that shit was, bro. That shit like that was hard, man. And you said something else. Damn, it was something else that somebody said. I can't remember. But that Gangsta Pat Legion of Doom, man, that stuff was hard. And you said something else. I wanted to
ask.
Yeah,
the
Man of the Hour.
The Man of the Hour. I worked with the Man of the Hour with Al Capone. It was Psycho, the Tyrone Bell Psycho, and it was Mac E, I think. And Mac E, man. Now, I said in the studio, through a lot of them hours, man, Al Capone is truthfully amazing. I'm serious, man. That brother, that's how I found Skinny. When me and Al Capone, yeah, and this is what I wanted. You said something about Skinny. You know, I did Skinny Pimp first tape. That's the tape that Paul just ripped all my shit off of. I'm going to tell y'all the truth. I produced that first tape. It had four or five songs on it. That tape disappeared. But the only reason why I picked up Skinny is because Al Capone used to use that high-pitched voice. Al Capone had got a high-pitched voice and a low-pitched voice. And when I was with Al Capone, I used to tell him I used to want him to use that high-pitched voice. And when I came across Skinny Pimp, you know, I ran into Skinny Pimp in the restroom. He rapped for me in the restroom. And he had that little bitty high-pitched voice. I said, come on. I said, let's go. You know what I'm saying? And took him straight to Squeaky. And then that's when we started creating. I did the first Hurst Village Al Capone tape was produced by me.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Back in the day, there were crazy clubs at the time, like Crystal Palace, Studio G, of course, Treasure Bell Street, 21st Century with DJ Sound. And,
DJ Sound.
The club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Club Expo, Club No Name. Can you tell us about the gangster work story with the Bovan family and they created the gangster work during the Club No Name with, when the D game was being introduced by the family, in fact, in 86, 89. Can you tell us about this era? And after Cactus Jacks and Club Envy, I was in 95 at this time, so
yeah.
I could see DJ Jules born. Sonny D, rest in peace. So can you tell us about this type of era of gangster world?
Man, I'm going to tell you, that era, I swear to God, that era is, man, it was like no other when Mac, whatever his name, he came up with the gangster walk, the bug jump or whatever. And that's why I said right. Spanish Fly actually took me and Squeak up under his wing and showed us. Spanish Fly, I be hitting him with it. He's like, man, it's been so long ago. We done all did so many drugs. So it's like he'd be hard for him to remember. But he took us up under his wing, man, and actually, I was actually a teenager getting in that club. Marcus B.
Yep.
Lopez, he got second place at Club No Name. That's how I was able to get in Club No Name, man, because it was like, it was unbelievable, man. I mean, like, just see people going around in a circle. I mean, I seen
right.
people get trampled. I seen people get trampled. If you went slow, man, you got trampled. You got stomped on, and people kept just walking, the gangster walking in a circle and running over your ass, man. That was the craziest shit in my life. I ain't gonna lie to you. I seen quite a people. I was a teenager, 15 years old.
Yeah.
I seen a few people get killed. Like, bam, bam, shoot, man, in the club.
Yeah.
I swear to God, man, when that era came, man, it was just something about it that me and Squeaky wanted to continue that on. That was like a big influence on me and Squeaky, and we knew what they was missing. Was the creativity of our own music. You see what I'm saying? We knew it. We was watching it. We kids. And we like, and you're right, Prince. That's where a big influence came from, Prince, was watching Club No Name, man, you know what I'm saying? Disco Hound, Raider J, Sonny D. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something, man. You forgot my guy seeing Live Wire. You know what I'm saying?
Live Wire
and DJ Fila was like, rest in peace. See, Squeaky mainly wanted me to be with him. You see what I'm saying? So I didn't go out there and DJ them club. Live Wire and DJ Fila, while we were so close, me and DJ Fila and Live Wire, because see, Squeaky would give them other clubs or parties to DJ. You see what I'm saying? That's how Livewire and DJ Fila really came in. You know what I'm saying? Because they looked up to me and Squeaky, and Squeaky used to go ahead and get them jobs. That's the whole truth.
Yeah. The dance was crazy, like a voodoo circle dance. We can see it in G-Style, Gangster. the video.
G-Child. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
it's crazy because we can see never else in other cities this type of dance. Even Cool G tried to get in it at this time.
Right. Helma too. Well, when the G-Style, when G-Style X came in, that was really at Studio G. At Studio G, right at Studio G, called Club No Name, and all them got closed down. So me and Squeaky ended up DJing it. And that was like a new dance. It was the same thing as Gangsta Walk or the Bug Jump. It's just Tyrone, Hurricane. You wouldn't believe, Carmike was actually in that group. in that group. Yeah, and they really came with the difference, like what they doing today. I give it up. I don't know. I might be wrong or whatever. I'm not sure. But that was when I really seen the change of it taking from Bug Jump and Gangsta Walk to the G-Style. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what I say sometimes. It's a suburban walk. Because it was the first to do it.
Who was?
Maybe.
Who?
Oh no! I tell you about Suburban Family. That time.
Okay. Well, say that one more time. Say that one more time.
Bovan Family, Bovan, I believe.
Yeah. Right. Well, what I was saying. That was with Mac E, and it was somebody else.
Right.
They Gangsta Walk was. That was the Gangsta Walk or the Bug Jump when Mac E them was actually doing. When G Style came in, that's when the footwork.
Right.
Actually started changing. You see what I'm saying? It went from like going around in a circle. That was the Gangsta Walk or the Bug Jump. You know, people might do their little moves, but the G Walk was a totally, the juking was a totally kind of, it was the same thing, but you had more dances. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it was a little different. Now you're more flashy. You know, now you got more footwork. But I can't credit that to Hurricane and, you know, whatever, and all them, Tyrone, and because Mac E them, they dance was different, a little different than to me than the G Style.
You collaborate also with Razor J. On Nothing But a Killer Tape, so he was ahead of his time, but he was on your tape too after.
Yeah,
can I tell
the funeral, right?
The
right, the funeral, man. You won't believe it. It's so crazy how everybody that came from Club No Name, man, me and Squeaky was like a big influence on them, and that's crazy that they was like, I tell people, Spanish Fly was coming over Squeaky House. Before the Smoking Onion. That's why the eras and the times kind of messed up because, man, a lot of us don't know when that stuff was coming out. I'm telling you, man, everybody was on something. And now you're talking about trying to remember something that happens in 86. Man, that shit is like cloudy. You know what I'm saying? But Rated J and DJ Spanish Sly used to come over to Squeaky House. And, you know what I'm saying, we were teaching them the drum machine. Squeaky can co-sign that. He'll tell you, yeah, Spanish Fly. But people don't know. I hear a lot of different things. But like I tell people, if you wasn't in that room and you wasn't there, you don't even know. Only the people that was in that room, only the people that was in that room know. Skinny know, Squeaky know, because we from that, you know what I'm saying, and we was all in that room together. Teaching. We were teaching them. Yes, sir.
Talking about Skinny Pimp, can you tell us about Looking for the Tunes, original?
Ooh, man. You know, Looking for the Tune was actually just a beat. You know what I'm saying? Looking for the Tune was created by me and Squeaky like three times before we put rap on top of it. Looking for the Tune was like a bass beat at first. You know what I'm saying? It was for people to just dance at the club. And one day, me and Squeaky put down some stuff one night. And then the next morning, He was like, Zerk, he called me. He said, I got 8-Ball on the song. I got Skinny Pimp on the song. I got MJG on the song. You know what I'm saying? He said, hurry up and get on over here. You know what I'm saying? And I had Kilo with
right.
me. And I swear to God, nobody didn't want Kilo on that song. But when Kilo
yeah.
finished, everybody really thought Kilo had the best, like, style-wise. You see what I'm saying? That style that Kilo kicked it is really kind of a style that they even doing today, and everybody loved it, man. They didn't want Kilo even on that song. But since that was my brother, I vouched for him. Man, Kilo bunk. Call that bitch the because she loved to suck it, some shit, man. But Kilo was bumping that song, and everybody loved it. Everybody praised him, man. But, yeah, Skinny, man, was phenomenal. I ain't going to lie. Skinny, Al Capone, them guys were, like, phenomenal. They was very creative, and I love working with them guys. Them two guys there, man, I love working with them, man. I love, you know,
yeah.
I was Al Capone hype man. People don't know that. I was before the Taylor Boys came, I was Al Capone hype man.
Right.
Hey, but see, I went through everybody. I knew everybody. Everybody knew, you know what I'm saying? And it's so crazy, man. Even DJ Kojak, he can tell you. I don't know if y'all know him or not, but he was a producer back then before he turned into this mega DJ in Memphis. He'll tell you, man, I pulled him even in. I just love people. And if I heard something that was creative, I'd be like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Do that on that record. You know what I'm saying? And that's how me and Squeaky actually came together. It's because Squeaky had something that was phenomenal about him. You know what I'm saying? And that was different. So I was like, Squeaky, come on. Because, see, I pulled Squeaky in the game. A lot of people don't know that. See, Squeaky was 8-Ball and MJG DJ. But I pulled Squeaky into the game.
Yeah. And you
yeah,
were able to judge here. What is it called, G-O-A at the time?
Well, when I actually met MJG, Squeaky was the rapper and MJG was the beatbox.
Right.
No, for real. Squeaky was the rapper,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
MJG was
yeah.
the beatbox for y'all.
Yeah, but
it's funny how the times changed. That so, MJG became a great rapper, and Squeaky became a great producer. And it's crazy that it was a totally opposite back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you drop it also. So Kilo G tape, funeral song. Can you tell us about the Kilo G tape too? By the day,
Kilo, man. If he didn't stay locked up, Kilo would have been one of them phenomenon. If he didn't stay locked up, man, you know, his whole life. I think Kilo spent 23, 24 years in and out of the feds, prison, and
yeah.
more, man. That what happened to Tony. That what happened to Tony Down. Tony Down, when we did lock him in the trunk, he committed a murder, man, like maybe 8 months after, man, when the song just taken off, he go commit murder, 25 years. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of things happening.
Yeah. Right.
To me, you know what I'm saying, and you know, in his music.
It's sad because another Kilo G from Kashmir who died too. So the two Kilo G in bad trip. Yeah. Yeah, can I tell us also about the song I'm So High for you pray more on Mr. Tony May.
Damn, man. Man, you be in tour, man. Man, tell you the truth, I actually came up, I think, man, we at that time, me, Tony May, Primo, Trigger Nigga, it was a few more. Man, it's hard to remember everybody's name. Buckshot, man, for some reason, man, we were when we did that and Number Killers album, and stuff like, man, we was on a whole nother level, man. And we, you know, how you can feel something that feels different. And with that song, I'm So High, man, it was just a different feeling and a different bond, actually, than we had at that time. And you knew you were doing something good, and that's how it felt. You know what I'm saying? You knew the music felt good at that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one also, Gypsum was mind blowing for your little Ken Tony Man also.
Ooh,
with the same
man.
With the same sample way before Cookstar. With the same sample.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, look, man, I at that time I was a technician. I ain't gonna even lie, man. I was coming up with stuff, man, that I couldn't even believe that I was coming up. But like I said, that album right there, it felt good. I'm serious. We was a group like then, and then that was like my new group, because Kilo, why he wasn't on there, because he was in jail. Tony Down was in jail. Marcus Lopez was in prison. Yeah, I said I lost three members right there. You know what I'm saying? And Tiny Man, Primo, Lil Kane, damn, was Trigger Nigga brother. I can't think of his name. All of them felt like, man, it was a new thing at that time. Man, it was a new bond. It was a new thing, man, at that time, man. It felt good.
And on a final note, you put us Don't Stop for Gangsta Boo on the chat, and you put us also Pull Up with Project Man,
you know?
First Resurrection. So it was good to have a produce song for Gangsta Boo, rest in peace.
Well, I could have actually well, there's a time me and Two Project Pat was squashing the beef. Like I said, you know, with the thing about it, I'm a person, I got to tell the truth about my life and what went on. But, man, I mean, I congratulate them guys. But working with Lil Chat and Boo is always like something special. You know what I'm saying? It's like something special, man. And that's something that you wouldn't believe Chat and Boo wanted to do.
Yeah.
I'll tell you man, this is a hell of an episode, man. We first interviewed you on this show in 2013. So it's good that we're all still here to do it again, man.
That's right, man.
But before we do get out of here, brother, I want to give you the floor, man. Anything you got coming out that you want to promote or you want to direct people to, man, it's all yours, Zerk.
All right, y'all get ready, man, for the Memphis of Legends reality show. Y'all please check this out. I want to say big shout outs to KT. You know, he was part of Too Thick. He's from Nashville, Lil Bling, a lot of them guys. Like I said, I work with so many, and people be like, Turkey, you didn't mention my name. I be like, man, you know how many people I work with? But I want to send shout-outs, really, to the whole world, man. I appreciate y'all for embracing this music, man. Appreciate you, friends. Appreciate you, Sin. Appreciate France, Germany, Australia, Japan. Man, appreciate y'all, man. Man, y'all have my heart. I appreciate y'all.
Man, definitely. And likewise,
yes,
brother. We look forward to the next time, man. We're going to lock them in the truck
and
get out of here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Taking a point.
To help you save. Take advantage of savings when you cover your home and your ride. Discover how we're helping members save at usaa.com/bundle.
USAA.
Restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.